The person that is redeemed indeed does have a song to sing, and he loves to sing it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child, and forever I am. David, the sweet singer of Israel, writes similarly in a vein like this from Psalm 40, when he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall hear it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. How wonderful are those words, and how blessed indeed is the one who has put his trust in the Lord. Happy he is. He has a song, do you? In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John unfolds for us the song that the redeemed will sing in the glory above. In chapter 5, verse 10, we read, They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Redemption is one of the prominent truths of the Bible. The Old Testament abounds with types and pictures of it. The New Testament unfolds the vital doctrine as existing, first of all, in the councils of eternity before creation. It also unfolds for us the love and grace of God, which has procured it for us through the sacrificial death of Christ on Calvary's cross. It also declares for us the eternal blessing, the deliverance for sinners, deliverance from the guilt and bondage of sin now, which is redemption. And it also promises a complete deliverance. I mean by this the deliverance of the body from the very presence and effects of sin at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his own. Now, in the Old Testament, redemption is seen in God's delivering his people Israel from the judgment of the firstborn in Exodus chapter 12. The blood of the Lamb was slain and applied to the doorposts and lintels as a token of faith, which God saw. And when he saw the blood, he passed over that house, and the firstborn was delivered. Also, we see deliverance effected for the people of Israel by God's power when they're brought up to the Red Sea. They could not go forward. On either side were the mountains, and the Egyptians were pursuing them in the rear. Moses stretched out his hand at the command of the Lord, and God caused a wind to take and part the waters. The children of Israel passed over on dry ground. And as the Egyptians saw them, they pursued after them. But all the Egyptians were on the dry side on the other shore. God caused the waters to return, and all the enemies of the people of Israel were destroyed in the waters of the Red Sea. This is a picture of deliverance from our enemies through redemption of the death and resurrection of Christ. Both pictures, the Passover and the Red Sea, typify the cross of Christ, his death, the shedding of his blood. It is that which is necessary to deliver us from the judgment of a holy God. And it is that which is necessary to deliver us from every enemy, every foe. It sets the believer free from the foes of sin and Satan and self, from death and debt and discontent. Not one bit of the waters touches the believer. Praise his name. But how solemn it is to think that the unbeliever shall be engulfed in the righteous judgment of a holy God. Now, turning to the New Testament, we learn that the word redemption signifies a deliverance by paying a price. Also, it means to buy back. And as well, it includes the thought of buying as a slave, for instance, off the market, never to be exposed to sale again. How wonderful this is! How complete and full! We shall see the deliverance that God has effected for the sinner in the shedding of the blood of Christ. Now, the necessity for the redemption of man, and for your redemption, dear listening friend, is because of the bondage and the loss that sin has brought us to. Sin has made us its slave. Sin also has put us under the just condemnation and judgment of a sin-hating God. And sin brings death. And man cannot deliver himself from sin, from judgment, and from death. He's hopelessly exposed to judgment. He's helplessly enslaved to sin, its guilt, and its power. And furthermore, no fellow man can help him either. We read in Psalm 49 and verse 7, "None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." But redeemed we must be. Delivered we must be. Or else we will be eternally bound and judged. Now in the Old Testament picture book again, we return to Exodus 13 for a moment. God decreed there that every firstling of an ass had to be redeemed with a lamb. And if it was not redeemed, its neck had to be broken. And then God continued to say, "And every firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem." So the pronouncement was this: unless there was redemption by a substitute, there would be a broken neck for the ass. And unless there was redemption for the firstborn, there would be judgment of a holy God. Now God provided, as we have already seen, redemption through the Passover lamb for the firstborn of the children of Israel. And also he provided deliverance, redemption, for all Israel when he opened up the Red Sea, which speaks to us of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have already mentioned. But I repeat again, Christ died to deliver us from judgment. He died to deliver us from our enemies. Now, each of us, as being a son of Adam's race, we all, I say, are ruined and in need of redemption. We have gone astray from God. We are all guilty, and we need the redemption that is found in God's Son, the Lamb of God, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world to deliver us from our guilt and our distress. Now, in God's foreknowledge, he foresaw our sin, and he made provision even before he created mankind. Think of it. I tell you, dear friend, it's an almighty, omniscient God we have to do with, and you have to do with him. And all he wants to do with you now in grace and redeem you to himself. I'm going to read for you in 1 Peter what we have told to us about redemption. Verse 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." What a wonderful unfolding of truth we have in these words. It's something we may know. Redemption is not through any material means, but with the precious blood of Christ, and he himself the Lamb, the sinless, the Holy One, without blemish and without spot, who in God's eternal counsels were prepared, and then in due time was manifested to us when he came into the world as the babe at Bethlehem. And now, those who do believe are those who by faith have real hope and certainty and glory in God. Now, one of the thoughts of redemption is to buy back. A story is told which seems to simply show the truth of redemption. A lad built a sailboat, and after many days of faithful, careful, painstaking labor, was completed. Now he couldn't rest until he took it to the lake to see how it would sail. And as he proudly watched the wind fill the sails and glide the boat smoothly across the waters, he suddenly became aware that the boat was beyond his reach and heading out to deep waters. He could not swim after it. He had no boat to pursue it. He could only watch it sail swiftly away and finally out of sight. Shocked and with tears streaming down his face and his heart burning with bitter disappointment, he turned home. Sometime later, when in the city, he was passing a pawn shop. He stopped to look into the window. And there a sight met his eyes that made his heart leap for joy. It was his boat. He rushed into the store and shouted, "That's my boat in the window, mister. Where did you get it?" "Your boat?" asked the man. "Sure it is. I made it," said the boy. "Well, you may have made it, but it's mine," said the man. "I bought it from a fellow who found it along the shore, and if you want the boat, you'll have to pay for it." Well, the lad was determined to have the boat. He returned home. He worked. He sacrificed. He saved his money. And finally, he had the full price of the boat that the pawnbroker had demanded. He went to the shop, he threw his money on the counter, and he claimed his boat. He went out of the store, tenderly holding his boat and exclaiming, "Now you're doubly mine. I made you, and I bought you." I believe this simply illustrates for us this wonderful truth of redemption. God created us, but we all had sinned against him, and he lost us when we went astray. We went in our own way, led on, helped on by the winds of satanic influence. This is true of all, for all we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. But God's love would not rest. He wanted us for himself. He wanted to redeem us. He wanted to buy us back. It was necessary that a price must be paid because his holiness must be satisfied. And so he provided himself the way. He made possible a payment to himself by himself. He is the one who provided the Lamb of God, his beloved Son, to come into the world to redeem the world of lost, ruined sinners. The price could be nothing short of precious, sinless blood. And this could be found only in the Lamb of his providing, without spot, without blemish. The supreme sacrifice must be made. There was no other way. God's holiness must be satisfied, or man would be eternally lost. Sin demanded death and judgment. And this could only be appeased by the shedding of blood of an innocent, holy victim. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly paid the full price that God demanded. And God accepted that payment. And now, God's terms for deliverance, for redemption, are simply these, dear friend. He simply asks that you repent and believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus. That's all there is. He has done the work. He has paid the price. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Lost and ruined by the fall, Jesus came and shed his blood and made atonement, made a satisfactory payment of his own precious blood. And the Apostle Paul says now in Ephesians 1:7, in whom, in Jesus, we have redemption, deliverance, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We are bought back to God. We are bought off the market of sin, never to be exposed to sale. Our sins are forgiven. This is redemption. It is through his blood. There is no other remedy. There is no other payment. And from the moment that a believer believes in Jesus, he possesses this redemption. And Hebrews 9:12 tells us that it is an eternal redemption, deliverance, salvation. that the Lord Jesus has obtained for us. It's a deliverance that cannot be undone, dear friend. It is a deliverance that is forever secured, and it's because of the infinite price that has been paid, and it's because of the almighty power that has effected it. It's deliverance from the guilt and power of sin in every foe, and it is eternal. Do you have this redemption? You may, if you will trust the Savior, accept Him as your substitute, right where you are, repenting to God and believing in Jesus. Now also, it is a redemption that will be fully completed. Now what I mean by that is this. Though every believer now has the redemption of his soul, eternal salvation, he waits the redemption of his body. Yes, these bodies of ours, subject now to sickness, pain, and death, are going to be redeemed also. Romans 8 tells us this. When? It'll be at the coming of Christ. When he will deliver the bodies of the believing dead from the corruption and disintegration of dust, they'll be raised. And they'll be made to be bodies such as our Lord's resurrected body. We shall be like him. They'll be fitted for glory. They'll be fitted for eternal and heavenly habitations. And the bodies of the living believers shall likewise be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those who are alive on earth at the coming of Christ. And then our redemption will be complete. Then we shall fully appreciate the song of the redeemed and will sing it eternally. Dear listening friend, can you sing the song of the redeemed? Are you redeemed? Can you say, Thou art worthy? For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And you've included yourself there by faith? If you haven't, you may. And I urge that you do right now. Come, just as you are, to the Redeemer. With Job, you can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Claim him as your personal redeemer, and his blood will purchase you and set you free to be his forever, never to be put up for sale again. God grant that today you may not only know what it means to be redeemed, but will be redeemed and know it on the authority of the Word of God through his precious word and work done for you at Calvary. May God bless his word to every listener.